Hello, podcast listeners, and welcome to another episode of Living Well with Kathleen Saunders, your weekly podcast where we discuss the financial, physical, spiritual, and social well-being of everyday people like you and me. The information shared in this show is for general information purposes only and should not be used to make any personal changes to your lifestyle or health without consulting the appropriate financial, medical, or healthcare professionals. My guest today was born and raised in Montreal, Canada. Shortly after her birth, Cheryl was diagnosed with sickle cell anemia, a painful and chronic illness. The doctors told her parents to prepare for her funeral because she would not live to see her second birthday. However, Cheryl's parents dedicated her to the Lord, believing that, with God, all things are possible. Although she has spent a lot of time in and out of the hospital and continues to struggle with this illness, praise God, she has beat the doctor's prognosis. Cheryl graduated from Dawson's College in Montreal with an associate's degree and moved to the United States to attend Oakwood College, now university, where she completed a Bachelor of Social Work. She has been blessed to obtain two master's degrees in addiction and professional counseling and is currently pursuing a doctoral degree in organizational leadership with an emphasis on behavioral health. She has had a lengthy career in child welfare and currently works with the Special Victims Unit as domestic violence specialist for the Newport News Police Department. An active member of her community, she is a member of the Newport News Domestic Violence Task Force, Hampton Centara Careplex Hospital Ethics and Grievance Committees, and Parents and Family Advisory Board, and serves on the executive committees for the Allegheny East Conference and Columbia Union Conference of the Seventh-day Adventists. Cheryl has been married for 15 years to Micah Chavez, who is gifted in ministry and music. They have a 12-year-old daughter named Maylin. Cheryl and Micah have co-authored the inspirational book, Your Rejection, God's Protection, a unique biblical approach to understanding adversity. The Chavez family are active members of the Calvary Seventh-day Adventist Church in Newport News, Virginia, where Cheryl is an ordained elder. They are strong advocates and supporters of Adventist Christian education and healthy families. Cheryl loves to sing, preach, and facilitate empowerment workshops. Although she lives with a chronic illness and experiences pain every day, Cheryl's entire life is a testimony about what God can do versus the pronouncement of men. Well, welcome, Cheryl, and thank you so very much for being my guest today. I am truly looking forward to hear you share your testimony about your struggle, your journey with sickle cell.
I just want to say thank you so much for having me, and I'm just hoping that someone who's listening today will gain some inspiration from what's shared. But yes, I have sickle cell anemia. And the way I put it is that every single day I experience pain. There's not a day that goes by that I don't have pain. So I don't know what that feels like. When I wake up in the morning, I say, is today going to be a good pain day or is it going to be a bad pain day? Either way, I know at some point I will be experiencing pain. And sickle cell anemia is a very painful condition. It's one of a group of disorders known as sickle cell disease. And sickle cell anemia is basically an inherited red blood cell disorder, in which there aren't enough healthy red blood cells to carry oxygen throughout your body. And so normally what happens with our blood cells is that they're round and they can easily move throughout our blood vessels. But in sickle cell anemia, what I have, the red blood cells are shaped like sickles, or they're like crescent moons, or they're deformed. And so they become rigid and sticky. And what happens is as the cells move throughout the blood vessels, they get stuck in the small blood vessels. And what then happens is they can end up slowing, or the blood flow is so thick that oxygen and blood find it difficult to get to these parts of the body. And Kathleen, we need blood. We need oxygen in order to live. Mm-hmm. So basically the pain comes from this excruciating process where your body's like, look, I need oxygen. I need blood. And I'm not getting it because of these occlusions or the blocked cells. And that's where this significant pain comes in that can range from like someone poking you with a tiny little pin to it feeling like someone's literally running over your leg or someone's hitting you with a hammer. Or if you've ever gotten kicked in the shins, it's extremely painful condition.
Oh, wow. So that's some serious pain there.
It is. It really is. Oh, and just trying to deal with that on a daily basis can be difficult. So it can be debilitating where, okay, I know I'm going to have pain today. It may not be that bad. I can function. Right. I can go to work. I can go to church. I can spend times with my friends and my family and I can hang out. Mm-hmm. But then there are times where I am bedridden, where I can't even put one foot in front of the other. And there are times the pain is so severe where I need to go to the hospital and I need medical treatment. I need pain medicine to kind of numb some of the pain. And then the blood gets so, I would say, so thick where your hemoglobin is not at a high level. Mm-hmm. And that would then mean you would need to have a blood transfusion, saying like, you know what, we need to get rid of some of that bad blood. Let's infuse you with some new blood to be able to help you to function.
That's what happens when you go to the hospital. That's the sort of treatment that they're giving you, is to give you new blood.
Yes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes. So when I was younger, I spent a lot of time in the children's hospital. Mm-hmm. And at first I thought it was fun counting how many blood transfusions I had. Wow. But as I got older, I stopped counting at about 200 blood transfusions.
Wow.
And now I estimate here in my adulthood that I probably had over 500 life-saving blood transfusions.
Messy.
And so while I'm in the hospital, I can be in there maybe for a week. Sometimes it can be two weeks while physicians are trying to get me stabilized. Mm. And it's a condition where you don't have a very long lifespan, unfortunately, because there's only so much your body can take after a while. Mm. And after a while of your body not getting the necessary oxygen or necessary blood, you can have organ damage.
Oh,
those are some of the symptoms where there's a lot of anemia. So you're lethargic, you're tired most of the time.
So
because what happens?
I just wanted to ask you. So you yourself have just said because of this disease, the lifespan is shortened, right? So how do you deal with that, knowing that you might not live to 60?
Yeah. And so, you know, when I was shortly after I was born, I was diagnosed with sickle cell. Mm-hmm. My parents didn't know anything about this. This is back in the 70s in Canada. They didn't know much about it. There wasn't much research. And so the doctors basically had the prognosis and they told my parents that she's not going to live past two. Thankfully, my parents were God-fearing and they prayed and did not believe the report of the physician, and they dedicated my life to the Lord. And so I lived past two, obviously. And then the doctors continued to say, well, she's definitely not going to make it past 12.
Wow.
And thankfully, once again, through the power of prayer, you know, I beat that milestone. Mm. But they said, you know what? Okay, definitely, you know, in her 20s, that's going to be about it for her. She's not going to be able to make it. And I'm here to testify today that I am 46 years old. Mm-hmm. The life expectancy for someone with sickle cell, a male, is 42 years old. And for a female, it's 48 years old. But I've never had any cap on my life whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Even though physicians and scientists, they have their predictions. Mm-hmm. My life is in the hands of God. And
that's
so He is the one that ultimately dictates how long I have upon this planet. But what I'm going to do is live a life of purpose.
Yes.
And my friends often tease me and say, Cheryl, you suck the marrow out of life, because I do a little bit of everything. I have not allowed this illness to stop me through the grace of God.
Amen.
I've been able to do and accomplish some things that they said I wouldn't be able to do.
Wow.
And so I am just filled with gratitude for what God has done.
Every day is a gift indeed.
It really is. Mm-hmm. And Kathleen, I can share with you, growing up as a child in the Montreal Children's Hospital, I spent a lot of time there. And I had some friends who also had sickle cell. There was my friend Kiva. He was like the jokester of the group. He would always make us laugh. And then there was my friend Carolyn. Carolyn was very quiet. She was very shy. She did a lot of moaning because she was in so much pain. And then there was my friend John. He was like the introvert of the group, just cool, suave, debonair, didn't say much. And we would often hang out in each other's rooms at the hospital in between our bouts of pain. And we would commiserate together about hospital food and, make jokes at the nurses. But I'm here to tell you that out of all my friends, I'm the only one that's still living.
Oh,
So
wow.
John passed away, and then
Wow.
Carolyn passed away, and then a few years ago, Kiva died. I'm the
Oh,
only one that's still living. So I use every moment that I have
wow.
to tell their story, to
Right.
tell this story, to encourage other people that we all have a limited amount of time
True.
here.
Very
And
true.
what are we going to do with the time that God has given us? Are we going to allow the bitter things that have happened in life, the traumas that we've experienced, are we going to allow that to keep us down? And prevent us from living our full purpose? Or are we going to say, you know what? Yeah, I've been dealt these cards, but guess what? There's purpose in pain, and I can use that to be able to help inspire someone else's life. And that's what I've chosen to do. And so, Kathleen, every time I speak, I always tell the story about Kath, about Kiva, Carolyn, and John to remind myself that I have a limited amount of time, but to remind other people that they also have a limited amount of time and to live a life filled with purpose and also one of gratitude for
That's
the
right.
great things that God has done in spite of the traumas and the drama and the challenges that we experience in life.
Yeah, and Cheryl, you know, that is my motto, and that is at the end of every podcast, I usually end by saying, remember to live well daily, and definitely you're an example of that. You know, I just wanted to go back to something that you said in the beginning, because that really struck a chord with me. Every day you have pain. I just wanted to ask you, this morning you woke up, how severe was your pain?
So, it'll be like on a scale of 1 to 10. So right now, I've learned how to function in
In the
pain.
pain.
Yeah, so somebody else, what would be debilitating to someone else is like, oh, okay, let's just keep it moving. It's for me. And so right now, my pain level would be like a 4. But for somebody else, it would be like, that's too much.
Right.
But that's how I live. I don't know any
Any
other way
true.
living. But just having pain.
Wow. So you've learned to deal with it and move on in spite of the pain. You know, and at the same time, God has blessed you because you are married and you do have children. So you have lived a full life.
Yeah, growing up, I never really thought about marriage or having children. I didn't even know those were possibilities for me. I had always been told that with sickle cell, it would be difficult to have a child or that it would be high risk. So I never had that in my mind, where many women are like, yeah, I can't wait to be a mom. I can't wait to be married. I didn't think that those were possibilities, but the Lord opened those doors for me, and I have an amazing husband who is extremely understanding. Because what happens is when I'm sick, I'm out, and so that just means he has to take responsibility for the whole household. And we have one daughter, and I call her Malin the Miracle because I didn't even think I could have a child, as I said before.
Beautiful.
And when we finally got pregnant, my OBGYN dropped me. He was
Oh.
like, you're too high risk. I can't take you on as a patient.
Imagine
And
that. Wow.
I had to call doctor after doctor asking if they would take me on as a patient. And I met with a lot of rejection. And so
Wow.
finally, this one physician, OBGYN, she was like, okay, you and your husband come into my office before I take you on. I want to talk with you. And she talked to us and she said, okay, a couple of things. With your condition, you're at high risk for a miscarriage. Extremely high risk. Then the second thing she said is if you do give birth, it could be a stillbirth because you don't even have enough oxygen or blood to sustain you, much less sustain a child in your womb.
Mercy.
So, you very well could have a stillbirth. And then she said if you do deliver and this child comes out, your child could have some significant deficits because of the lack of oxygen in the womb. And she said, do you want to use alternative means in terms of the pregnancy? And my husband and I looked at each other and we're like, no, we're going to go ahead.
That's
We
right.
believe that God literally planted this seed and we're going to go forward in God's name. And
Amen.
would you believe my daughter is now 13? She is sharp as can be, honorable.
Oh, praise the
She
Lord.
just elected president of her eighth grade class.
Amen. Awesome.
science fairs, and I'm so very proud of her.
And you know, that's why we can't always listen to the doctors, you know? The greatest physician is Jesus Christ himself.
You got
so
that
we just
right.
gotta
Really
put
and
our
truly.
trust in the Lord, not in man. Wow.
It's so true, but I will tell you, my illness does take a toll on my family, and that chokes me up a little bit because when I'm sick, they have to pivot. And so that means my husband becomes a single parent.
Wow.
That means when I'm in the hospital, I can't even comb my daughter's hair. And kind of daily tasks that sometimes as mothers we take for
That's
granted
right.
because of my illness, sometimes I'm not able to do those things.
Wow.
And that does hurt, but my husband and my daughter, they're so super understanding.
Well, praise
And
God for that.
oftentimes when I'm in the hospital, my husband would have to leave work, pick up my daughter, bring her to the hospital so she could spend at least 2 hours with mommy and see me. And then he'd have to bring her home, make sure homework is done, get dinner together, and take care of her, and then start that all over again the next day. And it does take a toll on them. But they have rolled with it, and I'm grateful for the family that I have.
Okay, well, praise God for that. Indeed, family does make things better, right? I just wanted to ask you one question. Now, is sickle cell a genetic disorder? Is it in
It
something that can be
is.
inherited? And did you inherit it from one of your parents?
Yes. And so basically, my mother had the trait and
Trait.
my father had the trait. And so basically, if one parent passes the sickle cell gene to the child, that child will have the sickle cell trait. So that means you'll have one normal hemoglobin gene and then one defective form of the gene. So people with sickle cell trait, they make both normal hemoglobin and sickle cell hemoglobin. And so you have to be careful of who you mate with, who you have children with, because if one person has the trait and the other person has a trait, put that together, that basically makes a whole, if that makes any sense. So I have two siblings. So my older sister has the trait, and my brother has the trait, and then here I come, and I got the whole thing. I got sickle cell anemia.
Well, that's quite interesting, you know, to hear you say that, because I was just going to ask. So, having the trait does not mean that you have sickle cell, the disease. It's two different things. So, there's having the sickle cell trait, and then there's having this being diagnosed with sickle cell. And you've just explained that because both parents have the gene, and then your siblings, they both have the trait, but they don't have sickle cell. You're the only one out of the three of you that got the full blown sickle cell, correct?
Exactly. So their blood, they might contain some sickle cells, but they generally don't have any symptoms. So they're carriers of the disease, which means they can pass that on to their children. So my daughter, she has sickle cell trait.
I was
So
just
my
going to ask.
husband, my husband, he didn't have any sickle cell in his genetic makeup. And so here I come with, of course, sickle cells. And so my daughter now has the trait. So she has to be careful.
Okay, well, that's really interesting to know. You know, so I know it's the sickle cell is because the cell is a sickle shape. Is there any food or diet that can help?
I would say this for me. I know I'm a vegetarian right now. And before, when I was a meat eater, and I'm going to say this is for me because this may not be other sickle cell patients' experience, but for me, I know that my health improved significantly when I
Awesome.
became a vegetarian. So when I used to eat meat, and I'm of West Indian background, so there was a lot of curry goat and curry chicken and a lot of that good stuff. I did stay sick. I stayed in and out of the hospital because it was taxing on me physiologically. But once I gave up the meat, my health improved, and also my water intake. Water intake is critical because you have to understand those sickle cells are blocking your blood vessels from receiving the blood and the oxygen that is needed. So as much water as you can get to kind of infuse yourself to help push those sickle cells through, the better. So I strongly encourage people to increase significantly your water intake and to have as healthy diet as possible. So to me, that means, no alcohol, no smoking, no recreational drugs or anything like that. Just eating as many fruits and vegetables as possible.
Awesome. Well, that's really good to know. So I know you said that you live a full life. You try and do everything. You don't really limit yourself. Are there any restrictions, anything that you have to avoid?
Well, for me, any extremes, so cold, any extremes in cold weather or hot weather, anything that's going to tax your body, because your body's already working hard as it is with sickle cell, more so than an individual who doesn't have it. So you don't want to do anything that's going to be too strenuous. I remember as a child, I rode a bicycle around the block, and the next day I ended up in the hospital. That was
That's
just
too
my
much.
experience. It was a little bit too much, so I really do have to pace myself. And I can't, when I lived in Canada, because of those cold winters, I would find myself with pneumonia quite frequently and end up in the hospital. So I try to stay away from the cold temperatures, dress as warm as possible. If my home is cold, it's going to send me into a pain crisis. And if it's too hot, where I'm like sweating profusely, once again, I'm taxing the body, and that can send me into a crisis as well.
All right. I hear you. I want to ask you, how has your faith in God, because I know you're a believer, how has your faith in God helped you deal with your condition?
It has helped me significantly. And I'll tell you, when I was younger, I used to question God, like, why would you allow me to have this kind of pain? I just don't get it. And there are times when I do cry out to the Lord and I'm just transparent, like, this is too much. But then God reminds me that I don't give you more than you can handle. I'm right there with you. There's pain in your purpose, even though you're experiencing this, the way you live your life through faith, through trusting in me, allowing me to handle your issues, that can inspire someone else. And so even though I may be going through a difficult time, I still take the time to reach out to other people, to plant a seed, to check on someone else. Because if not, oftentimes, Kathleen, if we focus on the challenges that we're experiencing, it can lead us into a deep, dark depression. And so sometimes we have to break free from that and pour into somebody else
Very
to take
true.
our mind off of what we're going through. I'm not saying to negate the issues that you're experiencing, but sometimes we can take our mind off of it and help focus on someone else who may be experiencing a difficult time and help enlighten them and empower them as well.
That's awesome. So tell me, you keep talking about purpose in pain. So what sort of purpose? I know you've just shared a little bit about that. It helps take your mind off of your condition. What other things has the Lord helped you, or have you done through your pain that brings purpose?
Through my pain, I've been able to preach. I've been able to teach. I've done women's conferences where I've preached to help inspire other individuals. My husband and I, we wrote a book about rejection because we had seen so many people who had experienced rejection in life and how difficult it was for them. And the Lord gave us these principles that we put into the book. The book is called Your Rejection, God's Protection. And how sometimes the Lord will close a door for a reason. And
True.
instead of us sulking and pouting and being bitter about it, have your moment, but then move forward and recognizing later on, oh, that's why that door was closed. The Lord was actually protecting me. And so we talk a little bit about that in the book. So I've been able to use this book to help other people. I've written part of that book while I'm in a while I was in a hospital bed. So going through a difficult time, even then, still trying to help other people. The other ways that I've been able to use my pain to purpose is through my profession. I'm a social worker, and I love to be able to help people. So even though I might be going through a lot of pain, I'm still trying to help remedy some of the issues that my clients may be experiencing, to be able to help restore their lives so they can live as holistic a life as possible. So I've been able to have the opportunity to do that and help other people in the midst of my pain.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. That's really awesome. I guess also too, the fact that you're at different degrees of pain constantly all day, you say, every day, you in your work as a social worker, I guess it also helps you to be a bit more compassionate on people too.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So the majority of my career I spent working with children, families who've experienced abuse and neglect, horrific things that have been done to children. And so I've been able to empathize with being a survivor,
right,
with being able to be resilient, because God has given us the ability to be resilient and be victorious. And even though we've gone through difficult things, you can make it. And so I've been able to use that to empathize with people, to be compassionate, to be kind, to be trauma informed as well in my approach in dealing with people. So yeah, all of those things have been very helpful to be able to help other people.
Awesome. You know, you, in order to go through all what you're going through, definitely you have to be a strong woman, not only a woman of God, but a strong woman, because that's not easy. We know going through childbirth, that brings on one kind of pain, but the kind of pain that you're saying that can go from 1 to 10 in excruciating pain that you may even have to go to the hospital at times, that takes a certain amount of strength and courage to go through that. And, you know, I want to ask you, is there anyone besides God, is there anyone out there that you look up to, that you admire, that you draw strength from?
Yes. And, you know, being a strong individual, you're surrounded by other individuals who are strong just as well. And so, yes, I do draw strength from them. And so I have an amazing family support, amazing. And many people who have a chronic illness, they don't have that. They have family members who are angry with them because, you know, one minute you're doing fine and the next minute you're in pain. And that messes up our family plans. If we had to go on vacation or go on an outing, now we can't do that. And so family members get very bitter than being the caretaker of someone who is so sickly. So I am fortunate that that is not my testimony. My family has been wonderful. And then I have a village of sisters. These are women who, if I'm going through a pain crisis and I'm crying out, I'm like, I can't handle it anymore, Lord, I will send them a text message, SOS, pray for me. I can't handle this. And all of a sudden, my sisters in the village will send back a text. We got you. We're praying for you. You can do this. Hang in there. And it's so important to surround yourself with other individuals who are strong. And they've seen me pour into them in their time of need. And then I've had the opportunity to have them do the same for me in my time of need. So I look up to all of the people in my village and my family members. They are my heroes.
Amen. Praise God for that. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. You heard Kamala Harris's speech, right?
Yes.
And, you know, I took some points from her because I'm sure many women are looking to her as a role model, as a strong woman. And something that she mentioned in her speech, I'm just going to share that with you and just paraphrase some of the things and piece things together. Basically, she said, a moment like this is possible for all women of all generations, Black women, Asian women, white, Latino, and Native American women. Every little girl watching sees that this is a country of possibilities. But not only that part, she went on to say, dream with ambition, lead with conviction, and see yourselves in ways that others may not, simply because they have never seen it before. But know that we will all applaud you every step of the way. And I say that to you, that I'm applauding you every step of your journey, because, you know, I could never imagine what it must be to be in your body, to experience what you experience on a daily basis, and you're going through, you're chugging through every day, you know, day in, day out, your hospital visits, you've overcome the odds. The doctor said that you would die at 2. They said that you would die at 12, but in your 20s. And here it is today, you're 46 years old by God's grace, and you're still standing. So truly, I applaud you, and you are that woman that's, you know, aiming for your dreams, and you're leading by conviction. And, you know, I just want to give God the praise for you. And thank you again for, you know, thank you for sharing your testimony, your journey of how you are indeed an overcomer.
Yes. Thank you so very much. And for all of us, there are women who are within the sphere of our influence who we need to encourage because there are so many doors being closed and we need to cheerlead and open doors for others. We are not operating in a silo. So she, Kamala Harris, has now opened the doors for so many other people. Now it's our turn to do the same for those who are within our sphere of influence as well. We hear a lot of no's and a lot of rejection that we've experienced, but we have to keep on pushing. And no is not the end of our story. We can keep on going through the grace of God. We can make it and fulfill our purpose in Him.
That is so very true. Praise God. So do you have any other stories about your challenges or how every day, you know, but how you make it through and through, in spite of what you're going through, you're still able to, you know, service your clients. You're still being able there to be there for your family, your friends, your community.
I do. I just want to tell you a little bit of my educational story.
Sure. Yeah.
Growing up with this condition, I missed a lot of school. And so I failed. I failed the sixth grade. I had to repeat the eighth grade. And it was very difficult for me. So I did not see myself as intelligent or even able to pursue things educationally because I was always playing catch up. You know, you get out the hospital, then you get all the schoolwork and you still, you know, I wasn't very sharp. And so I just didn't think I could do it. And I applied for college, and every college I applied to, they rejected me. And finally, one college in Montreal took a chance on me and they gave me a provisional acceptance. They said, we'll take you for 6 months, but if your grades are horrible, then you're going to be kicked out.
Uh-oh.
And praise God, I was able to push myself and I was able to achieve. And I completed my associate in 3 years. It's supposed to take two, but I did it in three, but I was able to do it. And then I went on to college in the United States University. And one of my very first assignments I turned in, the teacher returned it to me and it had a big fat D on it. And he took me aside after the class and he said words that changed my life completely. He said, you are better than this. And I said, I am. And those words changed my life. And I started really applying myself because growing up, my parents didn't want to push me too hard because I'd already been through so much. So there was never that push to strive to be your best educationally. And so here is this professor just meeting me, my first assignment. He says, you're better than this. And I was able to graduate college with honors. And then I was able to go on to obtain a master's in addiction counseling and then a master's in professional counseling. And now I am pursuing my doctoral degree in organizational leadership with an emphasis on behavioral health, hoping to finish by the grace of God, hoping to finish by next year.
What an accomplishment. Give God the praise for that. That's awesome.
That is nothing but the Lord. So I'm very, very grateful. And it's not to say that I'm the smartest person. It just also goes to show determination and stick-to-itiveness and not giving up no matter what. That's the bottom line.
Wow. Definitely you're an inspiration for those who don't even have an illness that they're battling with, you know, those people that are, you know, in good health, that, you know, determination and dedication will pay off.
Yeah, but the bottom line is the words of life that someone spoke into me saying, you are better than this.
Yes.
That's what started it. So we have the ability to speak words of life to people that we come in contact with, whether it's in the grocery store, whether it's that Uber driver, whomever we meet, our colleagues, we can speak words of life that can change the trajectory of someone's life.
Definitely.
And so if I'm in the hospital and the nurse comes in, I'm going to speak words of life to
her
in the midst of my pain. And that's part of taking your pain and turning it into purpose and speaking life to people.
Yeah.
And I often say that we should plant seeds because you never know which one will grow.
Exactly. So true. And it just took that one teacher, that one person to, you know, tell you that you're better than this. You know, you have accomplished so much. So I'm sure you hold that teacher in high esteem for, you know, pushing you, for encouraging you, for giving you that D, you know, that D became your determination.
Nicely said. Yeah. And I will shout out the Professor Gregory Mims, who helped to change my life as it relates to my educational pursuits. Amen. I am very grateful for him to this very day. Professor Gregory Mims.
Awesome. You know, I just wonder, you do these motivational speeches. What advice do you share with new parents of children who have sickle cell?
I would say, do not limit your child. Do not put self-imposed limitations on them. Let them tell you what they can or cannot do. Mm-hmm. I think of my parents, and it's no fault to them, but they didn't push me in terms of my educational pursuits because maybe they didn't think I could do it. Mm. And so I would tell parents to allow your child to write their course, but put some, you know, be there to provide guidance to them and support them along their journey, but don't put any limitations on them because you never know what your child can do.
That's right. You don't know their potential.
That's it. All nicely right. said. Thank you.
Awesome. This has been such an enlightening chat with you today. And I'm so grateful that you were able to share all of this with us because there's a lot of information regarding sickle cell that I didn't know. But one thing I want to ask you, I often hear, who's affected by sickle cell? Is there one particular group of people that this affects?
Yes. So sickle cell disease is more common in certain ethnic groups. So people of African descent, so African Americans, Hispanic Americans, people from Central South America, people of Middle Eastern, Asian, Indian, or Mediterranean descent, they primarily are impacted by sickle cell. However, sickle cell disease can affect people of any race or ethnicity, according to the research that is out there. But primarily, I would say individuals of African descent experience sickle cell anemia. And
do you know if do they know the reason why?
You know, and I'm not so keen on the scientific research components as it relates to sickle cell, but apparently there was a mutation as it relates to the gene to prevent individuals from obtaining malaria. So people with sickle cell, they can't get malaria for some reason. And back in the day, this was a serious issue that was wiping out a lot of people. And so it just became like a gene mutation to protect people from malaria. But then on the other end of that, people then got sickle cell.
Wow. So this is some great information. You know, I've given you some opportunity to share with us. But before we wrap up this interview today, I just want to make sure that there's nothing else that you want to share with us. I know this podcast today will definitely benefit those with sickle cell and those who have loved ones with sickle cell, or just, you know, just to educate us on a whole.
I would say, because people often see, you know, me functioning and going about and appearing to do well, people might not ask about my pain. So I have some really close friends. They know that every day I experience pain, and they'll say, okay, what's your pain level like today? And to me, that's very refreshing, because sometimes we don't like to deal with things that are uncomfortable. We don't like to think of our friends experiencing pain or our family members. And so we just figure out, like, if we don't talk about it, we don't ask about it, then maybe it's not really there. But for me, it is there. And so those friends who ask about my pain, it's very comforting me. And it's an acknowledgement that I am experiencing this pain. So I say to people, ask. You know, someone who may have gone through grief and loss, they lost a loved one, and we figure, well, maybe if I don't talk about that loved one or don't ask about them, then I won't bring up the fact that this person lost someone. But it's also an indication when you ask them about that person that they lived and they loved and they cared for this person, and that individual is very real in their life. So it's okay to ask them. So I would just say, continue to be encouraging to those who may who have sickle cell that you know of. Ask them about their condition. Ask them how they're feeling, because many times people with sickle cell, they can be very miserable, because the pain is so severe. So they may not always have that sunny outlook on life or be as optimistic. It's tough living every single day in pain. And so you end up lashing out sometimes at the people that you love because you're in so much pain. So I would just say to ask, be encouraging, be patient with someone who may have a chronic illness that you know, and just ask them how you can help.
You know, that's good. I'm so glad you did bring that up, because I was about to ask you how can we as family, friends be supportive? And you've answered that so well, you know, and it is okay to ask questions, because to me, I would have been doing exactly what you have said not to do, feel free to ask the person, so how's your pain level today? How are you feeling? Let the person know that, you know, you are aware, you do remember, you haven't pushed it aside, that they, you know, are living in this condition every single day. You care, you empathize, and you just want to know how they're getting along day by day.
Yep, that's it. You got it. Nicely said. Thank you for reframing that and packaging it so well.
Awesome. You know, I want to thank you so much. This has been a wealth of information for me, and I'm certainly sure for my listeners today. I want to thank you for coming on. I'd love to have you on again, and this time we can talk about that book, Your Rejection, God's Protection. Yes, indeed. We'll have to get together again and, you know, have a conversation about that book. You have a website and you have some information. Would you like to maybe share with us where people can get more information about you, if maybe people would like to have you come out? You do speaking engagements, you said, correct?
Yes, I do. I do. So I do have a website. It's www.traversian.com. And I'm going to spell that C-H-A-V as in Victor, E-R-S-I-A. IAN, traversian.com. And then I'll also, if it's okay, I can give my email address. Is that all right?
That's all right.
So that's Cheryl Chavers at gmail.com. And Cheryl with a C, C H E R Y L, Chavers, C H A V E R S at gmail.com.
Awesome. Great.
Thank you for the diversity of the individuals that you interview and the time that it takes to do this. I really just appreciate your purpose in providing this opportunity for so many people. And may God bless your ministry as you continue to speak to others, enlighten them, and inform them about various topics that can inspire and encourage people along their journey. So thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much. You know, they say all good things must come to an end. And indeed, this was a good thing. It was a great conversation with you, Cheryl. I so appreciate you and taking the time out to spend with us and sharing with us today. So thank you. Wow, that was another amazing interview. Cheryl is amazing. What a strong woman. I so admire her accomplishments. It just goes to show you that you can do anything. Be anything you want to be, even with your adversities. Don't let anything keep you back from achieving your goals. Before we end today, I'd just like to share with you some additional facts regarding sickle cell disease. According to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, sickle cell disease affects about 100,000 people in the United States. It also affects millions of people worldwide and is most common in Africa, Mediterranean and the Arabian Peninsula areas. It affects many races, not just African Americans. While sickle cell disease is more common in African Americans, occurring about one in 365 African American births, it is still present in other racial populations, including one in 1,200 Hispanic Americans. A child gets sickle cell disease when he or she receives two sickle cell genes, one from each parent. A child who has inherited only one sickle cell gene has sickle cell traits. If both parents have either sickle cell disease or sickle cell traits, it's important for them to discuss this information with each other and with a doctor when making decisions about family planning. More than 95% of newborns with sickle cell disease in the United States will live to be adults. People with sickle cell disease can lower their chances of difficulties from the disease and enjoy many normal activities by getting regular checkups with their doctor, follow treatments prescribed by their doctor, such as taking their medication, preventing infections by taking simple steps, including washing their hands, practicing healthy habits like drinking 8 to 10 glasses of water per day, and eating healthy food. In someone with sickle cell disease, red blood cells die early and not enough are left to carry oxygen throughout the body, causing anemia. Infection or enlargement of the spleen, an organ that stores the red blood cells, may make anemia worse. Blood transfusions are used to treat severe anemia. You can help by becoming a blood donor or a bone marrow donor. because patients with sickle cell disease occasionally need blood transfusions. You can Google and contact your nearest blood bank for more information. The only proven cure for sickle cell disease is a bone marrow transplant. Remember, September is Sickle Cell Awareness Month.
Thank you for listening to the show today. I hope you enjoy the topic and found something that you can apply to your own life. Don't forget to share this episode with your family and friends. And remember, live well daily.